This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Pig City Roadhouse presents Rocky Mountain College Kickoff on KFKA. With Brady Hull, Dustin Urbis, and Mike Danson, here's Tanner Schwint.
We've got an injury-depleted roster here this afternoon. Let's make sure we get Dustin Urbis' mic on there, Micah Kilpatrick. I know it's your first day here. Hi, I'm Tanner Schwint, Rocky Mountain College Kickoff, presented by Big City Roadhouse. Brady Hull, unfortunately, not able to join us. Mike Danson wanted to be on, but he's in Ireland, and I've been drinking Guinness since 10 a.m. this morning. Figured probably not the best of ideas. So I am Tanner Schwint, the dude down the hall, Derbs. How are you, my friend?
I am wonderful. I'm actually excited for this episode. Just you and I talking a little ball here, and we have some great interviews and some and a guest coming up, so I'm good.
Yeah, excited about this. This is a guy that dominates KFK airwaves a lot, and it's because of his insight on the Colorado State Rams. Kevin Lytle of the Coloradoan joining us live here on a Friday afternoon. Kevin, my friend, what are we thinking, man, going into this Washington State game after 1 week of practices from Jackson Brousseau? Have your thoughts on him taking over the starting job changed at all?
Yeah, hey, just like you guys, it's next man up mentality, right? I'm just super fascinated to see how Brousseau does as the starter. I mean, he was, you know, very good in, you know, relief duty, if you will, last week. But I think you also have to put the qualifiers in of it was two drives, which is not a large sample size, fairly quick short passes, you know, nothing too complex. And, of course, UTSA basically had no tape on him or anything like that. They had prepared for Fowler Nicolosi. So now that's not to say Brousseau, you know, won't replicate and be good this week, but it, like I say, it's just kind of a qualifier of we just don't know yet.
Kevin, did we maybe overestimate the skill positions for CSU coming into this year? Because it seems like aside from Jackson Warren, this team has a hard time getting open.
Yeah, I think it's a few things of it's just a lot of things. I think one, yeah, they haven't been great because for as much as Fowler Nicolosi has struggled, and he has, I'm not making excuses, but these guys aren't getting open a ton. You've also had injuries. I mean, Jordan Ross missed last week, Jackson Warren missed last week, PD Tucker missed last week. So that's a lot of injuries. Kojo Antwi came in late in the game, but he was a guy, you know, that they're hopeful will become a number one, but he's just not ready to go yet. So that also hurts. And then of, you know, even of the guys they, you know, plan to lean on, like Ross and Tommy Maher, they're pretty inexperienced, so you're still going to have some growing pains. So I think all of that combined with quarterback not playing well, that's just a tough situation. But I think there's no doubt they need better QB play, but they do need better performance from the skill guys.
Kevin, hey, good to talk to you again. It feels like it's been forever.
I miss you. It's been so long, yeah.
we touched on this a little bit yesterday, but I kind of want to reemphasize this. Washington State, their defense is bad. So this should be a primetime spot to showcase a little more rhythm and a little more explosiveness to try to find something here. We didn't list out players, since you just named off a whole bunch of them. Who do you think is going to be the person to step up here the most?
Yeah, I would look at, on the receiving side, especially Armani Winfield. He came on kind of late in the game last week, was their top receiver. He's a guy that has shown flashes, but has never been consistent. He's a Baylor transfer a couple of years ago, has all the physical tools, and like I say, he's had some good games, but then he'll have some quiet games. And he seems to be one of those, a vibe receiver. Like when he can get some early touches and feel good, he'll have a good game. But if it's quiet early, it tends to stay quiet. So Armani Winfield, I think, is a guy that I would look for them to get touches really early, especially we don't know for sure on Jordan Ross or Jackson Warren if they're going to be in. So, you know, even if they are, but especially if they're not, they need Armani Winfield to have a big game. So that's a guy that I really have circled as a need-to-perform player for Saturday.
I mean, if I'm Washington State, I'm loading the box and playing against a run. Is that? I mean, that's got to be Norvell's philosophy, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's what Dustin and I talked about yesterday. CSU, we've talked a lot, has, you know, their best skill group is the running backs, and now especially with a, you know, an inexperienced quarterback, why on earth wouldn't you try and run it a ton? So I fully expect a pretty heavy dose of rushing from CSU. I also, you know, this sounds contradictory, but I don't think it is. I do think they'll try and get some quick passes early to get Russo, sure, you know, in some rhythm and stuff. And again, at least show Washington State, like, yes, we all know we're going to run some, but you have to honor the pass from this guy. So I would expect some early passes. They would love to get a lead and then just be able to dictate the pace with that running game.
Visiting with Kevin Lytle from the Coloradoan here this afternoon. And Kevin, I know there's cliches about must wins, and I know you hate that term, but this has got to be as close to a must win for Jay Norvell and the Rams as they're going to have the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, you said half my answer right there. You know I hate that phrase, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Certainly from a public relations standpoint, if you will, if Norvell and CSU were to lose this, I mean, to be very blunt, you'll have a very angry fan base. That's just the fact of the matter. I don't think anything would happen as far as, you know, movement, you know, from the decision makers, because they still haven't even started conference play. But there's no doubt, you know, this is a future Pac-12 foe. As you mentioned, they're struggling. I can't really get a read on this Washington State team, but I do know they've given up 59 points each of the last two games. That's not great. So when you're playing teams that you're going to share a conference with and ones that are struggling and you're at home, yeah, those are games you want to win.
Do you think style points matter in a matchup like this? Let's say they hypothetically lose, you know, 38-35, and it looks like things are turning around a little bit. Do you think that matters, or is it losses or losses here?
I think at this point, a loss is kind of a loss. There'd be a little bit. Yeah, if the offense looks like it's getting some life, that would at least salvage a little bit of, you know, fan angst, if you will. But at this point, I think a loss is a loss. Now, I will say in wins, style points can matter right now. A, you know, tight win over UNC feels a lot different than if they had beat UNC 44-10. You know what I mean? And that will go for this week, too. If they grind out an ugly turnover-filled, you know, 17-16 win, obviously it's better than a loss, but it still wouldn't appease everyone. Whereas if they blow the doors off Washington State, a lot of fans will go, okay, you know, they made the quarterback change and that fixed everything. Like, here we go. The defense playing well. Now the offense is fixed. Like, it's on. So style points aren't everything, but yeah, they mean something.
Visiting with Kevin Lytle from the Coloradoan here this afternoon. And Kevin, you know, talking about the importance of this game, this is the third home game for the Rams. You only get seven this year, you get three of them. If you start off the year 1-2 at home, you know, with a big portion of your schedule out on the road, you got to take care of home field advantage. As much effort as John Weber and Amy Parsons have poured into Canvas Stadium, you've got to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and, you know, in the big picture, that's a huge thing. This admin is making it very clear they're changing the scheduling philosophy. You know, we don't need to go fully into it right now, but the broad thing is they're shooting for seven home games a year, and, you know, mathematically, you're more likely to win at home. Right? That's just a statistical, you know, known thing in college football.
Call those so facts, Kevin.
Yeah. That is known thing. That is, man, that I'm a word.
A statistical known thing.
To write.
I'm glad you're hitting Big City Roadhouse a little early on this Friday afternoon, Kevin.
Man, I wish, man. That would be dandy. But you know, I mean, you have to win at home. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go 7-0 at home every season, because obviously there are different challenges. But yeah, you can't be losing at home. And again, we know you're talking about style points. That's the same vibe. You're getting big crowds right now at Canvas Stadium, but we all know what happens when you lose all the time. Those crowds go away. So you got to win. You got to win at home. And, you know, when you have seven home games, if you take care of business at home, you're well on your way to a good to great season.
Well, and I agree with the whole. And I think it was a good question by Dustin. Actually, I don't let him know I said that, but I thought it was a good question talking about those style points, because it doesn't, like, if CSU comes out and gets their ass kicked, it doesn't matter. If a loss is a loss is a loss, but if they win and it is dirty, nasty, like, the last good football game we've seen CSU be a part of was Washington, and they lost that game by 17 points. Like, there's just been no flow, whether it was all the turnovers in the UNC game or if it was the 97,000 penalties in the UTS game. Got to have better discipline, and you got to have that better execution, I think, tomorrow for the Rams at the very bare minimum.
Yeah, I mean, if I just think it'd do a world of good, and in some ways it's a super obvious statement, but it'd do a world of good to go out and have just a pretty consistent, dominant performance. If I think people know Washington State's not great, but it's still a decent-sized name. It's
sure.
a future conference foe. So if they could go and kind of just handily beat them, and you know the fourth quarter feels like cruise control in a CSU win, I mean, that would change the mood and the vibe significantly.
It's a strange situation. Like, how is the mood at practice, Kevin? I imagine you've been out there a couple of times. Is it still up?
Yeah. So what's interesting, you even post game after UTSA, it was pretty calm. I think the outside view is almost always more dramatic than what is in the room, just because that's the nature of social media and fandom and all that. Like, players are wired to understand you're going to get weird results. You know, crazy games happen. You move on quickly. Like, these players are just wired for that. But I think this team does truly feel that they can go make a run at the Mountain West. Some of that probably has to do with, you know, I think we all agree the Mountain West is weird and vulnerable this year. But I, you know, maybe results will end up showing differently. But I think this roster currently still feels that they can have a big season. I have not, you know, obviously, unfortunately, I've been around a number of not good CSU teams.
Right.
And this is not a, you know, the vibe that I've gotten from some of those of where pretty early on you had, you know, a good group of that room sort of checking out. I haven't gotten that vibe at all yet.
Well, that's good. And as we always say, the most popular guy on a bad football team is the backup quarterback. So maybe that'll fire up some people, you know, in the locker room, too, because I don't know, you know, I don't know what the vibe was in there about, hey, is it time to make a QB change there? But I'm sure quietly those discussions were being had. So, hey, if Brousseau's got that locker room, I would see, I would imagine we'll see a very, you know, a very, very enthusiastic CSU team tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, I think, regardless of what players feel about it, you know, a teammate personally, they all understand results and performance. And I don't think anyone would argue, whether in the stands or on the sideline, that watching, you know, what the offense done the last few weeks, that it's good enough. So I think with that, you do get a little bit of spark. I think we saw it last week, and I think we'll see some of it tomorrow. Now, does that sustain? Again, performance will matter. If JB goes out and is just throwing dimes all over the place, yeah, that will absolutely sustain. But if the offense continues to struggle, you know, the kind of QB change bounce can only last so long. But I think there's no doubt this is a group that, especially offensively, they feel some both pressure and probably energy to try and get things going.
Kevin, I know you made your pick on Rams Weekly yesterday afternoon, but for those that are just now joining us and hearing, Rams favored by 5.5. What do you think the score is going to be? Do the Rams pull this one off?
Yeah, this is a pretty hard one to read because both teams are pretty weird right now. But I said, you know, Washington State's been terrible at turning the ball over. CSU was terrible at it against UNC, but then cleaned it up last week. I think turnovers, CSU will get a couple key ones. I said CSU wins 27-21, but I expect another close and dramatic fourth quarter.
Kevin, appreciate your time as always, my friend. We always look forward to getting that information from you leading up to the game. But, of course, you'll have a ton on the Rams game tomorrow night for everybody to check out over at the Colorado and go get that subscription. Kevin, thanks so much, my friend. And if you get a call from Keegan Bradley, answer it because the USA Ryder Cup team may need you.
Good. I mean, I'm pretty much that quality, so that may come.
Kevin, I think you and I could have beat Russell Henley this morning. I'm not going to lie. I think you and I could have got it done this morning. Kevin, appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
There you go. Kevin Lytle from the Colorado, and that's no jokes either. I think I could have given Russell Henley a run for his money this morning in the Ryder Cup. But interesting stuff there from Kevin. I don't necessarily love that there's a quote-unquote calm factor around the Rams. You have to be better than what they've been. And I don't love, because calm very easily can be not caring. Yeah. And that's what I worry about.
Yeah, I live in that same boat there with you. There has to be some sort of emotion. It has to either be like a negative yelling kind of argument.
Pissed off or...
Or like a rah-rah thing. Like, right. All right, he's going to be our guy. Let's go, let's go, let's go. I don't think it can be calm. But if that's the case, then that means the first probably two or three possessions that tomorrow mean a whole heck of a lot more than
the first time Brusseau puts that ball in the air. It's going to be an important one. Like, as weird as that sounds, I know we're dialing it down to a microscopic moment, but the first time he puts that ball in the air, if he hits a big completion or just a completion at all, I think that offense is going to be like, it wasn't a throw off the back foot for an incompletion. CSU needs this one against Washington State. We're off and rolling. It's Rocky Mountain College Kickoff. On the other side, let's talk a little Air Force football, shall we? Air Force taking on the Hawaii, right? What are the Fighting Rainbows or the Rainbow Warriors? Close enough. Mm-hmm. One way or the other. We're going to talk about Air Force. On the other side, it's Rocky Mountain College Kickoff presented by Big City Roadhouse.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together.
It might just truly be a two-man show. Micah can kick rocks, and one of us will figure it out. Looking back in, Rocky Mountain College Kickoff presented by Big City Roadhouse. The Air Force Falcons took on Boise State, the Broncos, last week. This was a close one for all of the picks that we had. That line was 11.5. Boise State gets the 49-37 win. And this one lived up to exactly what I think we all thought, Dustin. Air Force defense is non-existent.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's sad because the offense is starting to figure it out and cook. So in years past, you wouldn't have that case. Like,
it's a role reversal.
Yeah, they'd be dominating the time of possession. Plays are, the 4 or 5 yards at a time. Now they've gotten to actually be pretty explosive, and it's almost hurt their style a little bit because it seems like the defense just is a little outmatched, and they just run out of steam.
Yeah, it's tough, and I was just looking. I didn't get a chance to watch this game. I didn't know that Air Force went 4-2 at one point, and that's what caused the cover to happen there. So, terrible decision to go 4-2 by Air Force. It's just weird, because, like you said, you think of Air Force, and it's this rough, tough style of college football on the offense and defensive side, and just not happening. So, talk to me, Air Force going up against Hawaii. Give us our right-hand construction. Opponent construction here, Dustin.
Yeah, so Hawaii, they run the run and shoot, and basically that relies on the quarterback to get it out quickly and accurately. And Micah Alejado does that. He very rarely turns it over, although he did do it a couple of times last week. Is a very competent quarterback. So what happens with Hawaii is they just the plays are just too short. They're just not explosive. So this week should help Air Force maybe calm it down just a little bit. If Hawaii goes up and down on them, then they have serious problems.
That's the thing about a bad defense. Those dips and dunks, the dinks and dunks, can explode into huge plays because of missed tackles. Like, I know formulaically speaking, they shouldn't be able to get up and down the field, but all it takes is a couple of missed tackles and boom, you're off to the races.
Yeah, and that's fairly common in the college game anymore.
Yes. That's why, I listened to Front Range Spare Change this week, and I was screaming in my pickup. I was screaming at you specifically. Clayton, I love Clayton. He's just dead-ass wrong on this one when he's saying, oh, I like the under. No! This is going over. This is going over every day of the week, and you were on the overside, and you let your buddy talk you into the under. Who are you?
Well, I didn't say the under. We just played Hawaii's total instead of taking another step forward. It was kind of the why lose a couple of bets when we can lose one.
That's fair, man. I have no trust in this Hawaii defense, this Air Force defense.
Yeah, I don't either. They are 134th in the country out of 137 teams in total defense.
That is say that again.
Yeah, 134th. in total defense, 137 possible teams.
My goodness, dude. It's that bad down, which is, I mean, Troy Calhoun has to be livid down in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, and it's weird because last year they were actually really competent against the pass. Like they were like a top 40 team. And now they don't stop any of it. It's a wild situation. And I don't think that the players turned over that much. They had a bunch of returning starters. Yeah, just a strange situation.
It's so weird. And this offense, you almost feel bad. Like we're living in just a weird world right now where Air Force's offense is doing it. But Josh Johnson, I mean, he's been okay. Of course, Liam Zarka getting the start last week. He's been really good since coming in. 21 of 34 passing for 360 yards, 62% completion percentage, two touchdowns, two picks in that as well. But it's bizarro world in Colorado Springs right now.
It is, yeah. And Hawaii comes in here. They're actually a quite good defense. So I'm going to be interested to see how this actually plays out. Air Force would be much better if they chose to play a game in like the low 20s,
yeah,
rather than trying to outscore everyone. But this year,
I don't think they have a choice.
Yeah, they might not have another choice. This one could be weird because I don't know if Hawaii can keep up as much as the other teams have. Just their pure style of play dictates them muddling their way down the field. So it is just very strange because this is where we get into those matchup talks where what we've seen in the past doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be here in the present. And that's why I always kind of live the week-to-week thing, not the overall, well, we did this against this team, that means this team is going to do that against this team.
At a certain point, you are what you are, though, and this Air Force defense has just been bad so far this year. Go Pokes texting us, commenting on X, and you can text us as well, 888-530-0043. You handing out any extended lines again this week after you took CU minus 29 against Wyoming last week?
Good golly. We were on pace too, and they let you right in the door.
That's a bunch of BS. Prime couldn't stomach that it was that close, and he said, "Let's run up the score on that one." But we'll dive into CU Wyoming off this week, so a lot still to come. Air Force has to win this, right? If they've got any hopes of salvaging their season, they have got to win this game. They're 6.5-point favorites against Hawaii. It's down in Colorado Springs. Long travel for Hawaii. They've got to get this weekend, right?
Yeah, they're in the same territory as CSU, in my opinion. This dictates their trajectory on the season.
Yeah.
Like they lose this, and it's probably tank-ish mode. Not that that means anything to them, but like there's just not a lot of teams left that they'll compete with.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, on the other side, we are going to hear back. Hank Gibbs joined Brady Hull earlier this week on the Hull Show. Hank Gibbs of the UNC Bears. We'll listen back to that in just a moment. It's a Rocky Mountain College Kickoff Show presented by Big City Roadhouse.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
You got your little way of hurting me, you know just how to tear me up, leave me in small pieces on the ground. You've got your
2:38 the time. Thanks for being with us here in the Aloe Fiber Studios. It's Rocky Mountain College Kickoff. The UNC Bears sit at 2-2 ahead of conference play. Idaho State making their way to Greeley on tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I'm excited to be going to that game tomorrow. And on Wednesday, Hank Gibbs, one of the tight ends for the University of Northern Colorado, joined Brady Hull on the Hull Show. This is what it sounded like.
Hank Gibbs joining us now. He scored that touchdown and gave the Bears their second win of the season, tight end for the UNC Bears. Hank, my friend, how are you?
Hey, Brady, how's it going?
You know, it's good, man. It's better when the Bears are winning. I got to tell you, I was pumped for that. How are you feeling?
Feel good. You know, it always feels good to win. I think that there's some areas we can improve, but it's nice to improve after a win versus the other way.
How was the what was the tension like when the referees are stepping in trying to determine whether or not you scored there? I mean, are you getting flashbacks of that CSU game?
no, sir. It's different circumstances. We put that game behind us, and we're looking forward to Idaho State. Just an exciting time to, you know, push through and break through. We had a overtime game against South Dakota where we weren't able to finish it off, and we were able to do it this week.
I mean, Hank Gibbs, you are the purest of teammates, my friend. I just love listening to you. Ed, I text Ed after the game, and he wrote me back and said, we overcame some demons tonight. That's kind of how he felt, was like, we kind of just need to see it. We need to see that we can win these tight games, and that was certainly a tight game. What was the feeling like when ultimately this is called a touchdown? You guys know you're getting out of there with the win.
It felt good. I kind of joked with Coach Lamb after the game. I was like, "Hey, Coach Lamb, you can exhale now." You know? we kind of shot ourselves in the foot in different times of the game, but I think it was a good learning moment for us. Good teams find a way to win, and we want to be a good football team. And there's a long way to go, but you know, you got to win those tight games, and good teams find a way.
What does it mean to you? You know, your non-conference schedule, and I know you're not looking back, but you're 2-2, getting set to start your Big Sky Conference schedule coming up this weekend against Idaho State, and close games and the losses. We don't have to get into the details of the CSU game. Obviously, you go to overtime against South Dakota. Both of those teams were picked to. I mean, Hank, the spreads would tell you that those teams were favored by a lot, and you guys come out of there, and it comes down to a final play or two in both of those games. What kind of confidence, what's the confidence level right now for the Bears, being 2-2, but also knowing you competed against, you know, some solid football programs?
We competed against them well. Those games, you know, we don't want to just compete. We want to win. Coach Lamb talks about, you know, respect to everybody, but bow to no one. So, you know, we're not worried about the spreads or anything like that. Whenever the official blows a whistle, we're there to compete and we're there to win. So just about taking each moment, each play at a time, and, you know, finding a way. You know, it's a long game. We think this game against Idaho State is going to be a four-quarter game, and we expect that. They're a good football team. They're kind of like us in a lot of ways, to where they were close against some really good opponents. I'm sure they feel like they had some opportunities to capitalize there, and we do too. So it should be a good game this Saturday. It's homecoming. We hope to have a lot of fans there to support us, and we're excited to kind of show our culture. We're a tough football team. We're a big football team, and we're just excited for this game, and hopefully – get our home conference slate started with a win.
Hank Gibbs joining us, tight end for the UNC Bears. UNC's got Idaho State, as Hank mentioned, coming up for homecoming this weekend. Should be great. And as you mentioned, Idaho State, their first game of the season, they're at UNLV. UNLV's rolling this year, and that was a tight game. Idaho State was up in that game. Close game against New Mexico. That looks like a very good team in the Mountain West Conference, too. And then they scored 90 against Lincoln, 90-0 there. So let me ask you this, Hank. How much film, when you're going into the film, do you watch a lot of that Lincoln game when it's 90-0, or are you more likely to look back at the New Mexico, Southern Utah, and UNLV games?
You can take something from all games. We're looking at what they do to different personnels and different formations and how we can attack them in various ways. Coach J-Dub is great about getting a game plan together for us to go out and execute. You can take something from every game. It's not necessarily, oh, they beat them by however many points. It's about each play and however many plays make up a game. So we just take it, you know, play at a time. How can we attack them? How can we win the play during that 6 seconds that we're out there?
What's different about this Bears team you know, as opposed to last year. And again, last year at the beginning of the season, Hank, you guys were, we know you had injuries. You were playing quarterback at that point. Castelli had injuries last year, too. The quarterbacks were going through it last season. So not specifically talking about that. But for me, from the outsider's perspective, it just seems like there's a different vibe. There's a lot of people, and I know you guys ignore that stuff, but there's just a lot of people talking about this program, excited about this program. Do you sense any kind of difference from this year compared to last?
I think we just got a toughness about ourselves. Coach Hall talks about on special teams, our special teams will be revealed, will reveal our culture. We have everybody on our team is tough. We have a lot of guys, especially on defense, that give a ton of depth. You can see last week there were some cramps during the game. It's 90-something degrees. It's hot. We're not used to those conditions. We played 95 snaps on offense, and we had some true freshmen step up even in overtime. So guys are ready for the moment. I think that we just have a great opportunity to stay in every game. Just we have depth everywhere. We have toughness. And I think that answers your question.
Oh, 100%. Hank Gibbs joining us, tight end for the UNC Bears. And Coach Lamb was on with me this morning for his for our Football 52 podcast. And something he said was really interesting to me, you know, talking about injuries and all that, basically stressing, hey, if you're too hurt to practice, you know, that's going to impact your playing situation there. And we went in to kind of talk about what that means to be able to lock in. Like the backup guys that are locked in throughout the week, you don't want to pull the rug from underneath them come game time because the starter's ready to go. And boy, did that method really show in a big way for you guys. You just mentioned it. You got a lot of true freshmen coming into this game to help you guys ultimately beat Houston Christian. There's just a sense of even the guys that are not playing 100% of the time or maybe not even 20% of the time, they're ready to go. And that, I think, that speaks well from what's going on a weekly basis at practice.
Yeah, I think that just goes to our practice structure. If you're not necessarily a starter, you're still going to get reps to learn and grow. Coach Lamb says we're a developmental program, and I think that, you know, it shows by our practice structure. You can be ready, go out there, and have confidence on game day, just falling back on your technique and what our coaches are telling us.
How impressed have you been, you being a former quarterback, and I don't know that that ever goes away, but how impressed have you been with Eric Gibson Jr. coming in? And I want to say that, too. He threw the two pick sixes, but still able to bounce back. He has done, in my opinion, he's done a really good job kind of thrown into an interesting situation. What are your thoughts as you kind of watch his game?
I think he's a really confident person, which if you're going to be a good quarterback, you have to have confidence in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. So I think he's a confident person. Even after you mentioned two pick sixes, obviously not ideal. But we had a lot of game to play, and we have confidence that, you know, he'll go out there and bounce back and put us in position, help his teammates, be a distributor of the football, get guys involved. And to just fight and give us a chance to win. I think in the CSU game, it really showed just his confidence in himself. Like, we didn't know going into the game that, you know, we're going to be in, like, we knew that we were going to be competitive and be in the dogfight. We just expect, like, he expects a lot out of himself. And whenever you do that as a quarterback, guys can get behind you and it can raise the play of everybody else.
Yeah, it's been fun to kind of watch that group. You know, you guys kind of raising each other up, or lifting each other up, I should say. Hank, you've had an interesting journey. You know, you were in the quarterback battle last offseason with Peter Castelli. Castelli ends up getting the nod as a starter, but Coach Lamb's like, yeah, still, we got to have Hank involved out there. And then, you know, over this last offseason, you make kind of that full transition to be not, I hate to just say tight end, because you're lining up all over the field. You're lining up as running back. You can do it all. What has that been like for you? Because Coach Lamb speaks so highly of instantly your willingness to say, I'm a football player. I don't care if I'm quarterback, if I'm tight end, if I'm running back, put me at middle linebacker. You just step up. You just want to play football.
Yes, sir. I just want to play football and help this team win. After playing quarterback after all those years, I think I have a good understanding of the game, and it's kind of been fun to see the game from a different perspective, a different lens. you know, you play quarterback for so long, you kind of, you don't really see the perspective of what like a lineman's going through. We use our tight ends a lot blocking. So just getting that kind of perspective and all the different areas of the game that what it takes to win. So it's kind of been a cool experience. In my opinion,
you're one of my favorite stories of all the teams that we cover, man. Just your attitude about all of this, and just you do it with a smile on your face. I mean, been out to when I go to practice a couple times, I see your gigantic body out there, and you've got this bright smile. You're just ready to go at all times.
Yes, sir. I try to play with a smile on my face. We've had some tough seasons in the past, so it's important to have some positivity and have that smile on your face because it's contagious. And just, you know, being there for teammates and lift them up, you know, whether I'm injured or in the game playing well, it's important to kind of have, you know, the same personality all the time. So I got to smile every day because, you know, it's a lot bigger than football. Your personality and who you are on a daily basis. And I think after all these years of playing football and being through the ups and downs, competing to start, being injured, just it's a lot to learn, and I'm really thankful for it.
Hank Gibbs joining us now, a UNC Bears tight end or just doer of or football player. We're going to say football player. Big game coming up against Idaho State, my friend. Like you said, the preseason rankings we know weren't kind to you guys. They weren't necessarily kind to Idaho State. And both of you guys have gone out, I think, already and proved a lot of people wrong. This is bound to be a dogfight this Saturday, man. So you know we're rooting for you. Can't wait to see you guys in action.
Yes, sir. Should be a dogfight, four-quarter game. Hope to see all Bear Nation out there. It takes all of us. UNC's got a great opportunity, a great community for everybody to get involved, and it's going to take all of us to really have a great program and something that we're proud of.
There's a buzz around this Bears team, Hank. So well done on the non-conference schedule. I know you guys aren't finished. I know you want a lot more, and we're excited to see what the rest of the season brings.
Thank you. Go Bears.
What a well-spoken young man Hank Gibbs is, and obviously that guy's had a roller coaster of a college career, playing quarterback, getting injured, now tight end. He's been all over the place, but that's the type of dude that Ed Lamb promised that he would bring to Greeley, and that's the type of dude that he's brought to Greeley.
Yeah, I'm very proud of Hank. That's a difficult situation. They still line him up at quarterback,
right?
You know, he's still the big bruiser guy in there, and to have a young man like that willing to do what it takes to revamp, rebuild, and turn this thing around is. It's inspiring to listen to.
Yeah. Whatever it takes for the Bears to win 2-2, Idaho State tomorrow at 1 o'clock. It's the Rocky Mountain College Kickoff Show presented by Big City Roadhouse right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Full transparency here. We're missing two of our cohorts here this afternoon, and there's nothing better than a Rory McIlroy lip out in the Ryder Cup, and I just about broke every SEC violation. I'm glad we had Mike in with the mics off back there. That's fun. Keep doing that, Rory, you idiot. Okay. Coming up, hour number two, we're, of course, going to hear from Chris King. He is the play-by-play man. We'll send it out to Brian Roth. Brian Roth, voice of the Rams, sitting down with the voice of Wazoo, the Washington State Cougars, and learn about their team. And that should be very educational for us here this afternoon, Dustin.
Yeah, I am looking forward to that because all the things that I've seen on the Wazoo side has just as much turmoil as CSU does.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what somebody close to the program has to offer here.
Yeah, especially, you know, those play-by-play guys, they've got to be, you know, partial to one side. But you get them away from their usual demographic and know who's listening, they start to be a little more open about the true and honest situation. We'll obviously dive into, we haven't even gotten a lot of these games. We're interview heavy today, of course. But we will dive into CU against BYU. That's a very interesting game. We'll get our picks. Performance of the week. We've got another shame of crown going to someone this afternoon. And the shame of crown. This person has won one before, and I have not won one yet, Micah. So, no, it cannot be me. And then we'll make our picks at the end. We actually got picks and players to pick from the guys that are gone. Again, Mike's off in Ireland. Brady with his little boys. He's recovering from a tonsillectomy yesterday. So you're stuck with us here this afternoon. Be a part of the show. Text us 888-530-0043. That is 888-530-0043 to write here to the text line. And then we'll have our Papa John's picks. I should have said that, by the way. Special offer right now from Papa John's. You go on there and to any of their Northern Colorado locations, use the code KFKA. You get a large one-topping pizza, $7.99. Best deal out there right now. Papa John's in Northern Colorado, code KFKA. One large pepperoni, or one topping. You know what I said.
Clearly your mind is on pepperoni.
Yes. It's the best pizza topping. You can't even argue it. Oh, Micah likes anchovies. Really, Micah? You're a big anchovies guy?
Pineapple only?
Pineapples and anchovies for Micah.
Lies.
Hour number two, coming your way next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.